For decades, growing up as a gay teen in America meant holding tight to a secret you could not share. Surely that is still true for many people, but a lot has changed, and a big part of the change is the growth of the online world. NPR's Steve Henn has the latest report in our series, Love in the Digital Age.
Meet Stephanie Sandifer.
I am 42 years old, and I grew up in a small town in Louisiana, Sulphur, Louisiana.
And Todd Benson, who grew up in Springfield, Illinois in the 70s.
I literally did not have contact with people my own age who were gay.
The only exposure that we had to anyone that might be gay were more of what we perceived as the stereotypes of that.
When Stephanie Sandifer was a kid, gay men were supposed to be hairdressers. Lesbians were supposed to coach gym. There were almost no real images of gay people in popular culture. Sandifer had feelings for girls, but there was no one in Sulphur, Louisiana she could talk to about it.
The experience that is so common for people growing up gay in the past is, I thought I was the only one.
Larry Gross is at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School. He's been studying gay teens for decades and says until recently, the gay teen experience was often defined by isolation.
I certainly did not ever talk to high school classmates about it.
Todd Benson.
Gay people or, you know, people perceived to be gay in high school were ridiculed or worse.
But the internet, Gross says, allowed gay kids to find each other.
So that the sense of isolation, and in fact the reality of isolation, could be overcome in a way that simply had not been possible before. Such a change.
Being able to get online, and I still remember the first time I saw those internet chat rooms on AOL.
Stephanie Sandifer.
And I was like, this is really different. And then suddenly we're able to get on the web and find websites dedicated to the culture.
Mark Elderkin founded gay.com in the mid-90s.
We couldn't keep up with the demand, and we would hit traffic records day after day. And so we knew we were onto something.
And it wasn't just adults on these sites. For the first time, gay teens and small towns had a place they could come out, a safe place they could talk.
They're in their 30s now, these people that came out back then.
And even today, they find him and say,
thank you, because gay.com helped me come out and helped me feel good about myself. And, you know, my parents, when they found out I was on the site, you know, took away my computer.
Lots of these stories are similar. There were lots of sites like this, and quite a few parents freaked. There were online scares about predators, moves in Congress to censor the internet, and some legitimate creeps. Gay.com had special rooms for teens and community monitors to keep kids safe. Eventually, courts squashed censorship efforts. Slowly, gay culture entered the mainstream online and the world at large. Soon, gay kids weren't just connecting on gay sites. Friendster took over, then Facebook. And today, many parents worry more about online bullying than the net corrupting their kids.
I'm Emily Kitfield, and I'm 16.
She lives in Sulphur, Louisiana.
It's kind of a small town, but not to where everybody and their grandma know your business.
Emily Kitfield is the kind of kid who calls me sir on the telephone. She's soft-spoken. And this year, she came out to her parents and her school.
But I don't think that I could have done it without being able to reach out to other kids and get advice from them, because it's really hard. I don't think I would have had the courage.
Emily lives in the same Louisiana town where Stephanie Sandifer grew up 25 years ago, but her experience there has been completely different. Steve Henn, NPR News.